Get ready for Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith.
Rebecca Blacksmith.
Take a host with a few Ivy League graduate degrees, a room full of bright CEOs, and throw in a conversation about leadership. Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith. For all leaders listening right now.
Right now, right now.
You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. We are now accepting applications for this year's Leaders Portfolio Awards, recognizing top businesses and business leaders with their commitment to leadership. You can find an application now at leadersportfolio.com. We're here in the Leaders Portfolio studio with the CEO of Integrity Management Consulting, Mr. Christopher Ramone, located in McLean, Virginia. Integrity Management Consulting recently appeared twice in the Inc. 500, number 83 in 2010, and then rising to number 44 in 2011. Welcome, Chris, to Leaders Portfolio.
Thank you for having me.
Now, it gets harder and harder to climb on that Inc. 500 list, but you did it. What do you attribute that to?
Well, it's the strength of our team, frankly. We have a dynamite leadership team. I think the strength of our business is our people. So I think a lot of, there's no magic formula here. It's a lot of hard work, calculated risk taking, and being in the right position at the right time.
Now, your firm provides major systems acquisition and program management support services to federal clients. So explain to us,
sure.
Kind of lay people what that is exactly that you provide.
Absolutely. We provide acquisition and program management support solutions to our federal government customers. Basically, the federal government does not build airplane ships. They don't build the screen equipment that's at the airport. What we do is these are managed through acquisition programs. So what we do is Integrity Management Consulting supports the acquisition program manager as he or she manages that acquisition program from inception, from requirements, all the way through its life cycle, which may be months, years, decades, to ultimate disposal of that system. So we provide our consulting services to a number of government agencies nationwide.
Great. And you founded this company and your wife in 2006.
That's right.
Is it woman-owned? Is she 51%? Did you structure it that way?
We originally did. She is majority owner of the business in which we founded in 2006.
And now it's grown to $12 million in revenues in 2010.
Right.
And so was that, from 2006 fast forward, was that the plan?
It was. We were pretty open-minded about the plan. There are certain core principles in which we found the company on. We wanted to see how far we could take it. Getting that high on an Inc. 500 list 5-6 years into company history was not part of the plan. It was a result of a lot of hard work, and especially we had a unique opportunity of last year being number one in the D.C. market. We really just wanted to form a company where integrity was prevalent at all levels of organization, where there were no glass ceilings. Where people's achievement had to do with how much impact they made and how hard they worked. So we basically wanted to found a company on those principles, and we were just very blessed that the results were the Inc. 500 placements.
Now, what are her areas and what are your areas?
Sure. We originally started a business as a woman-owned business. She was CEO. I was a chief operating officer. We kind of played to our strength. Whereas operations and business development fell under me, she was responsible for corporate strategy and basically building the foundation of the business. This worked well for us for a number of years, up until about 2010 when she had a hankering. She said, hey, listen, I feel like being CEO with so many different responsibilities, I'm not able to go after some of the things that I'm most passionate about. Namely, the people programs, as people are the strength of our business, some of the charitable programs that we have. And I really wanted the opportunity to create a role I can give back. And me, I was at the point in my career where I really wanted to be able to manage both sides of the business, both the operational and the corporate side. So we made a role switch in the first of the year in 2011, haven't looked back since. It's been great, pretty seamless transition, and the company continues to be successful.
So do you compete at home? Like who did it better? Or no. Should I ask you this off air?
No. You bring up an interesting point. No, it's, we don't necessarily compete about that, but the challenge of working with your wife so closely day in and day out is when to turn it off. When your kids can talk over the dinner table and they know enough about the four or five different parts of a government proposal and they start talking to you about it and asking you about it when you're still in grammar school, you realize you've probably taken it too far. And you rein back, and we've had to have certain rules at the house of when we can talk business and when we need to be off the clock.
You know, my husband and I are in the same award category every year, and we compete, and it's great because if I lose, he still might win, and so it's like doubly fun, and we tease. I like to tease him publicly about it, but I mean, of course, I'm as excited for him. So, all right, we're speaking with the CEO of Integrity Management Consulting, Mr. Christopher Bramoni, located in McLean, Virginia, Inc., number 44 in 2011. And I was reviewing some of your company's program presentations, and in the area, I was just looking at kind of some of the things that you know, your area of expertise is acquisition planning, and you call it the triple constraint, where things are good, fast, and cheap, but usually you need to pick no more than two of these items.
Right.
And that's something you advise government clients, but in my mind, I thought, well, this actually applies for everybody. I mean, for, you know, private sector business as well.
Absolutely. And you know, we're seeing this more and more with the austere budget environment we're all facing, all of the GovCons are facing, whereas, you know, oftentimes the government is not willing to sacrifice quality, and neither is the contractor, but they want a downward pressure on price, and they want it just as fast as ever. It's been a really challenging environment in order to kind of reconcile those three pieces, and realizing that, you know, oftentimes one has to give. It's hard to do all three well, but we're finding ways to do that.
Now, you're talking about how it's been harder mm-hmm. with this economic climate. It seems to me the economic climate has made it a bit easier for businesses to sell to the government sector, but more so than the private sector in this economy, right? Because there's still a higher level of spending. Or do you disagree with me?
I would,
in your field,
we're 100% in support of the federal government. 98% of our work is prime to the federal government, and it is getting a tougher environment out there. Downward pricing pressures. A lot of the the government people. You know, you hear about all these words on the news: austere budget environment, sequestration, vertical cuts, horizontal cuts, and a lot of times, the communication to the people who hold the purse strings to government, they don't know where they're going, so they're getting scared. They're not spending money like they used to. They are pulling back, and they're delaying awards or not making awards. So, you know, it's the people who emerge stronger from this environment. It could be the people who understand that's the playing field and have developed a strategy to address it.
Do you think that the who's president matters?
You know, I do, because, you know, both sides will argue that they're small business friendly. One side will give you the tax breaks. The other side will, you know, push small business programs. I think it does matter to a certain extent. For me personally, it matters somewhat because, you know, I do acquisition contract management, and this president likes to spend money. You know, this president mm-hmm. spends money. So, and the workforce is declining right now of the government acquisition professionals. So it's a unique opportunity. I think it matters some. I don't think it matters as much as some would like to say it does.
So would you? So this is an interesting question. So would you vote? I'm not asking who you vote for, but
sure.
Would you vote for a president that you know, kind of commercially it would be good for your business to increase, but privately you knew it isn't good? I mean, do you have that conflict, like over elections?
Absolutely. What's best for us from a business perspective might not be what's best in my mind to create a country for my children. So I kind of have to reconcile that. You know, is it what's going to help our business be more successful in the near term, or is it going to be who's going to be able to lead a better tomorrow and lead a better America for my kids? So
there was a radio law recently. It was a pretty big deal in the radio industry because there's not usually laws that shake it too much. And there was this big law, and I had this issue because I agreed with either for or against this law, but I. Personally, it would hurt. Professionally, it would hurt me. But personally, I knew it was for the greater good.
Right.
And so I ended up, you know, of course, going for the greater good, which
Absolutely.
Was the only person in my field who would vote that way. But I, you know, it's, you know, you struggle with that stuff. So it's
right.
Interesting. Now, your mission statement, and we're speaking with the CEO of Integrity Management Consulting, Christopher Bramoni. Your mission statement says that your company is driven by a single value, integrity. So when leading the company, what processes do you put in place to kind of achieve that single value?
Oh, my wife and I realized when we picked the name Integrity, we're putting a big bullseye on us, right? I mean, how much would the Washington Post love to get an article written in it that says Integrity Management Consulting has some sort of scandal, make for a great headline. So
right.
We realized what we were getting into when we got into it. I think one of the biggest processes we have in place, I don't know how much of a process, it's just having the spirit of openness and direct communication. You know, it kind of creates internal checks and balances, if you will. Whereas if somebody doesn't like the way a certain direction is going or feels like there's something wrong about it, they feel comfortable not just behind a closed door speaking up, but in a leadership team meeting or amongst their peers saying, hey, listen, this is what I feel. I guess one of my biggest philosophies is I'm not doing you any favors and you're not doing any favors by holding back. Communicate what's on your mind. Communicate if you believe we have an issue. That's the only way we can address it in a timely fashion. So I think it's that spirit of, to borrow a term, transparency, openness, and direct communication is kind of what we have in place to keep the spirit of integrity alive. And
now, when you've had a conflict of values over this kind of integrity variable, has there been a situation like that where you've had to kind of say, do I compromise integrity in order to deliver this contract on time? Or do I not deliver it on time so I can make more money? I mean, do you have any examples that you can share?
Yeah, sure. We have examples where we have examples all the time where we have to take a risk in order to stand by our values. We might not be able to give our customer exactly what they want or who they want delivered on a particular contract. But, you know, what we've realized in time after time when we've gone through these minor struggles or angst is that the government generally will respect you for doing the right thing. So let's say I've been working with this person a long time and really like if you could deliver them. But you, for one reason or another, you cannot deliver them. It would not be ethical to deliver a person on a contract. And you kind of say, hey, listen, let me explain it to you why we can't do it. And you're taking a risk. You're taking a risk that they could pull back the contract. You're taking a risk that if you get the contract off to a bad start. It's something that's necessary and has to be done. And 9 times out of 10, we've experienced that they have respected us for the difficult decision.
Great. Well, we're speaking with the CEO of Integrity Management Consulting, Mr. Christopher Ramone here. We're going to return and continue our conversation. Great. All right, Chris?
Great. Thank you.
We're going to talk when we get back about his overall leadership philosophy and some other ideas. And so we'll be back after this break. But first, I want to thank supporters of leadership. Some of our leaders' portfolio sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Green Tree Surgeons, Riverwalk, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. These are just some of our sponsors. And if you're a company that values fostering leadership, and you're a company that is unlike some of the companies that kind of had disastrous effects on our economy recently, we really encourage you to kind of make a stand and either A, apply for leadership awards or B, consider sponsorship. And we really encourage that because we want businesses that want to make a stand and want to publicly say to the federal community and to the business community that they are concerned with leadership and practicing great ethics and values. And so please get in contact with us, leadersportfolio.com. And while you're there, fill out an awards application as well. All right. And we can find this interview with Chris at leadersportfolio.com, the CEO of Integrity Management Consulting, Christopher Ramone, in studio at Leaders Portfolio. And we're going to return and continue this conversation. I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith on Leaders Portfolio.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Are you a business leader who practices leadership? Apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Have a client who emphasizes leadership? Nominate their company for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Past winners include startups, as well as a company producing $150 million a year in revenue. Tune in to Leaders Portfolio with Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith on the air and online at leadersportfolio.com. For Leaders Portfolio Awards information, visit leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Do you want others to know how your organization can help them? Then tell the business community why they need your business. Become a proud sponsor of Leaders Portfolio by calling 864-323-2600. By becoming a sponsor, you will be communicating directly with your target audience. Leaders Portfolio offers low-cost sponsorships for high impact, and Leaders Portfolio guarantees results. Let us tell you how by phoning 864-323-2600. That's 864-323-2600.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
We're speaking with the CEO of Integrity Management Consulting, Mr. Christopher Romani. I am Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. We're in the Leaders Portfolio studios. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
We were talking earlier about getting to your leadership philosophy, so I'd like to cover that now. Your background is you have a bachelor's in commerce and an MS in management information systems from the University of Virginia, and so you've had kind of that training as well as, you know, being in business here with Integrity Management Consulting since 2006, and you're now in Inc. 500. Number 83 in 2010, number 44 in 2011. So with that being said, what have you now learned to be your overall leadership philosophy?
I think there's a couple components to my leadership philosophy. I think one is, to be willing to do whatever you ask others to do, kind of the concept of servant leadership. We don't ask people to do things we wouldn't be willing to do ourselves or we haven't done ourselves in the growth of our business. Another part of it is open and direct communication. Problems and situations age poorly. It's better to address them head on, early, up front and early. So I think a huge part of our success is open dialogue and an open atmosphere where people can talk about if they have something on their mind, if they have a creative idea, or if they have a problem with a client, or if they have a problem with a staff member, or if they have a problem with or a suggestion on how to run a better business. I think direct communication is key, paramount to any success. And I think it's the third part is, part of our leadership philosophy would be to surround ourselves with good people, surround ourselves with people who think positively, who have can-do attitudes, and to empower them. Because, as the two founders of our business, we never want to do anything that would limit it. We have to let go of certain things that we've done to get us to a certain stage if we want the business to take off to the next level. So I think key to a successful leadership in our business is hiring the right people with the right attitudes and empowering them to do a great job.
Excellent. Now, has your leadership philosophy changed over time?
It has somewhat. I think that part of it is because it was a transition for me to go to understand the difference between management and leadership. I kind of rose through my career as a task manager, project manager, program manager, on up for larger programs. And those roles, on the continuum, there's a lot of management to that. Speaking to the triple constraint, which you mentioned before, mm-hmm. there's a lot of trade-off analysis, managing day-to-day. Where we had to, once the business really started taking off, we really had to keep more, understand it, prioritize our time to say, hey, look, the leadership, providing a strategic direction, empowering people, spending time with people is much more important and is much more valuable to the business and important to the business going to the next level than management. So I think that's been a huge part.
And you mentioned kind of moving over to the CEO role in the last year. How have you kind of adjusted to that position?
Well, I think, similarly, realizing that there's two sides of the business. I was very operational focused before, very much business development. My passion is developing business, going out and meeting with clients, developing business, developing relationships. And I had to realize, there's two sides of the business, or the corporate side as well, too. They're consulting to the operational teams every bit as important as the folks in the field who are consulting to our customers. And understanding the trade-offs between both and what's good for one side of the business, there's implications to the other, and having to look more of a holistic approach from an overall business perspective than rather be the lens of just an operational, what's best for operations and service of our customers. Look, we don't have a business if we don't do a good job servicing our customers, but you do have to give it a holistic view. And that has been probably the biggest transition for me as an individual over the past 18 months or so.
And you mentioned earlier that your wife transitioned more into kind of the people and charity part of the business.
Correct.
And she heads up charitable giving for your business, and homelessness, or getting rid of homelessness, is a particular issue that you support.
It's been a huge passion for us. Mary Beth, it's been a passion before we started Integrity. But really what we look for is addressing the root cause of homelessness, not just, serving a soup kitchen. That's very important. But looking at sustainable solutions, one of the programs we love is HomeStretch, and it's in the D.C. metro area where they transition homeless families from homelessness. You hear stories, these testimonies of folks who used to live in a car, and all of a sudden 2 years later they're buying a condo. And it just, it gives these people life skills and job placement skills and, English skills in order to go out and have a more sustainable life. And that's something we're really passionate about. It's kind of a give a man a fish philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
We also do that with some job placement programs in some pretty rough parts of D.C. where some people have difficulty getting jobs, and people say that they're unemployable, and these programs get people their first job, and then they can start building a little bit of a resume, and then they get a better life as a result. We love the sustainability of certain charitable causes, and Mary Beth is extremely passionate about that.
Now, have you been able to ever kind of also through your business personally hire any of these former homelessness people, or do you plan to? Is that a thought, or it doesn't work with the skill set matches?
No, it's a beautiful thought. We have talked to the director of some of the programs we've supported before and said this is a goal of ours. We haven't had the opportunity to do it quite yet. But I think wouldn't that be bringing full circle to be able to bring somebody back in organization and actually be one of the employers who can help give these people an opportunity. A lot of these folks are very hardworking folks, would love to do that. Mary Beth and I have actually discussed this. We just haven't had the right opportunity to bring somebody on board.
Well, now it's public.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to force the discussion here. It wasn't intentional, but of course.
So I appreciate it.
All right. And so got a Forbes business quote for you. This is from Leo Tolstoy. The sole meaning of life is to serve humanity. The sole meaning of life is to serve humanity. Of course, pick this. We're speaking with Chris Romani, the CEO of Integrity Management Consulting. Pick this because of your decision and your wife to serve humanity, serve eradicating homelessness.
I appreciate that. What's very important to us, what cornerstone of our business is what we call the impact triangle. Look, one part of the triangle is you got to serve your customers. You got to make an impact with your customers. You got to really make a difference. We don't want to be a commodity. Part of it, another part of it is making an impact in our community. To us, it's extremely important. We feel extremely blessed to be able to do what we do. We want to give back part of that. And so what we've been talking about, a lot of those charitable programs, is very important. We actually have success sharing metrics at our company where that actually comes into play at review time for folks sometimes. And then the third part is to give meaningful careers to our folks. It is our responsibility to give our folks meaningful opportunities so that they can thrive and be challenged at work and enjoy their careers. So I like the quote you gave because it kind of fits in well with our corporate culture and philosophy of making an impact, making a difference in folks' lives, be it our customers' lives by giving better solutions, be it the people in our community's lives, or being having happier employees because they feel empowered and challenged at work.
Now, I want to hit on something you just said, which is that you measure success metrics for employees in terms mm-hmm. of their community impact. How do you go about doing that for time within your company, on days off?
Sure, absolutely. So we have a lot. We have a lot of opportunities to give back throughout the year. Painting home stretch apartments, to walks. And part of this is it gives some of the more junior folks opportunities to manage something, to test out their leadership and management skills. We had a young lady at our company. We had this famine in East Africa, and she led a wonderful drive to support that. So, upon review time, it is part of the discussion of is this person unidimensional? Are they 9-to-5 or just do good work at customer site? Are they making an impact in their business? Are they making an impact on the people on their team? Are they making a difference in the lives of the community? That does come part of the discussion when we have our annual review meetings.
Interesting. And are there other things that you bring to the discussion as part of the annual review meetings that you do now that maybe when you first started out you didn't necessarily do that you've learned this is important?
Absolutely. You know, early on it was all focused on your client work and then kind of evolved more into business development, what you've done for developing a business. And then it started evolving into some of the things we're talking about. You know, how well-rounded is the individual insofar as, you know, do they do things extracurriculars around work? Do they do things in the community? Do they take an active leadership role in, say, a proposal, or do they take an active leadership role in some corporate project? So it has been an evolve. I won't even say we're done. We kind of look at our mission statement, which you mentioned, and kind of say, hey, how are we measuring up as a team against that?
Now, tell me something about, and we're speaking with the CEO of Integrity Management Consulting, Mr. Christopher Romani. Tell me something about your leadership story that I wouldn't know. Maybe it wasn't in your resume or something that really affected who you are.
Sure. You know, I would say, you know, from a subject matter perspective, I had a pretty good learning curve in acquisition and program management. You know, and my background's in business and finance and information systems. You know, I did not come up through the ranks of contract management and that type of thing. So it was something I kind of had to, as I was learning to manage and lead a business with Mary Beth, it was the subject matter was something along the way that I had done parts of, but not holistically the whole part. And so I kind of had to learn that as I went along over the past few number of years. I guess that's part of the leadership story that a lot of folks might not know.
Excellent. Well, thank you for being with us, Chris.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
Christopher Romani, CEO of Integrity Management Consulting, here with us on Leaders Portfolio. I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. I want to thank the supporters of leadership for supporting leadership content here at Leaders Portfolio so that myself, our guests, and our listeners all can learn to be better leaders. Dennis Co. Architects, WOW Services Group, Green Tree Surgeons, Riverwalk, a development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. Now, if you're a company that believes in leadership and wants to communicate that to federal partners and to commercial partners, then we encourage you to consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. We have multiple packages, some of them very inexpensive, and we encourage you to join our roster of sponsors because it's a great way to brand your company and also to give back as well. I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, and you know what? One of the ways that we give back here at Leaders Portfolio is we launched these Leaders Portfolio Awards. We had no intent of doing this, but we wanted to reward companies that did solid leadership practices. And so if you'd like to apply, or maybe you want to nominate a client, leadersportfolio.com. I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. This is Leaders Portfolio.